Today is Palm Sunday. Many churches celebrate this. I notice Irene has a lot of green on. Do you wear that today because of Palm Sunday? I thought so when I saw you come in. Today is Palm Sunday. Today is a day of celebration. It's a day in which Christ came into Jerusalem. It's a wonderful story. In fact, all four of the Gospels contain this particular story. It's interesting when you find a story that all four Gospels contain, you know it is an important story that teaches a very important truth. Last year, I think we looked at Matthew's account of this story. Today, we want to look at Mark's account. I chose Mark because our Sunday school class is right now studying the Gospel of Mark. So I prepared some thoughts related to Mark's account of this story. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. In fact, the first four words of Mark's account is, as they approached Jerusalem. Now, typically, you wouldn't think that would be that significant, just kind of setting the general setting for the story. But we know that there's a lot more to it than just that. In fact, last week, we were looking at the message from Philippians chapter 2, and we noted that Matthew's gospel gives a lot of attention and weight to the going to Jerusalem. In the first half of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is busy with his ministry, blessing the people, healing the people, teaching the people. And then in Matthew chapter 16, we have that transition point. We mentioned this last time. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says to them, we must go to Jerusalem. And he talks about how he is to go to Jerusalem in order to suffer and die in Jerusalem. Peter objects and says, no, Lord. We can't do that. And Jesus has to rebuke Peter because Jesus was on a mission. He was going to Jerusalem to fulfill that mission. You know, sometimes when we go on a trip, someone will ask you, is it pleasure or is it work? And we get to answer which it is. Jesus was on a work trip when he came to Jerusalem. In fact, it is the Passover season, and there were thousands of people heading toward Jerusalem. I'm sure as they walked the roads moving toward Jerusalem, there were people all around. It was the Passover season, and thousands upon thousands were going to Jerusalem. You would ask any of them, is this pleasure or work? They would say, it's pleasure. We are there to celebrate. We're there to worship. They were looking forward to a time of just rejuvenation and participation in this ceremony. They were pilgrims, is what they were. They were pilgrims moving toward Jerusalem. They were going to be on a pilgrimage. Jesus had a different perspective. He was going to Jerusalem to suffer and die at the hands of men. Let's read the first few verses. Again, we're looking at Mark's account of this story. Verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Matthew's account of this particular story connects this event to one of the prophecies in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Now, all four of the gospel writers paint this picture and make allusions to the fulfillment of prophecy, but Matthew tells us it comes from Zechariah 9:9, it's a fulfillment. What is happening here is a fulfillment of what Zechariah said so many years ago. Let's read this particular passage. Zechariah says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Zechariah is describing the arrival of a king. Jesus comes into Jerusalem fulfilling that prophecy. He indeed was a king, but he was a very unique king. In fact, you listen carefully to the words of Zechariah. It says, he is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey. Zechariah uses that word humble to describe this king. Now, you think about it, that's not how kings arrive. Kings arrive in triumph. Kings arrive surrounded with soldiers and other dignitaries. Kings are often full of pride. They're not humble. But Jesus is arriving into Jerusalem as the king on a borrowed donkey. He's full of humility. We've been talking about that very theme as we've been working through Philippians chapter 2. Even though he was equal with the Father and continued to be equal with the Father, he was willing to empty himself. He was willing to humble himself. And as we see the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem in fulfillment of the prophecy of the coming king, he comes in humility. He is our messianic king, coming humbly to bring salvation to Jerusalem. Now, Mark uses an interesting little phrase in this verse. He describes the donkey as one that had never been ridden. Whenever you read a story in the Bible, always look for these little details and ask yourself, well, why? What's significant about that? This donkey had never been ridden. Well, in Jewish understanding, animals that had never been ridden were often used and seen as significant for special holy purposes. In the book of Numbers, there's one of the sacrifices that's described for the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. It describes the sacrifice of the red heifer. It's a special, unique sacrifice. But one of the characteristics of the red heifer for that sacrifice was that it never had been yoked, never had been used. It was set apart for this holy purpose. There's another interesting story in the Old Testament. It comes from 1 Samuel chapter 6. It's the story of when the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the enemies of Israel. When they discovered the great power of the Ark, they chose to return it. They realized they had done something rather foolish to take the Ark and all the power that it represented. And so we read the story of the return of the Ark to Israel, and it's described as being placed upon a cart and being carried by two cows that had never been yoked, never been used. Again, from the perspective of the Philistines who had taken the Ark, it was a holy purpose of taking back to the people of Israel something that represented their God, because they realized that their God was so powerful. Mark tells us that the donkey upon which Jesus rode was one that had never been ridden. There was a holy purpose in this event. Jesus, the messianic king, was coming into Jerusalem humble and riding upon a donkey that had never been ridden. And then verse 3, again, this is from Mark's gospel. Verse 3, Jesus says, if anyone asks you why you were doing this, this relates to the finding this animal, tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. You get the impression from the story that this was an event that was prearranged. You get the sense that Jesus had made some arrangements. In fact, if you see, the donkey was outside, tied up, waiting to be borrowed, if you will. Jesus had probably made these arrangements. Jesus had a plan. He didn't come to Jerusalem just to see what would happen. He knew what would happen. He knew what was going to happen. Again, back in the middle of Matthew's gospel, he was telling his disciples, we must go to Jerusalem in order to suffer and die, but on the third day be raised again. As he comes into Jerusalem, he comes in with a plan, knowing full well he's not here for pleasure. He's here for work. He's here to carry out his mission. Again, it speaks to the willingness of Jesus, the eagerness of Jesus to embrace the cross. Here's another occasion where Jesus could have avoided this. We mentioned before that if all he had done is not gone to Jerusalem, he could have avoided it. And now he's here in Jerusalem, and instead of kind of keeping a low profile, he is willingly and eagerly setting up the plans and initiating the plans that will bring him to the cross of Calvary. Another thing we see in these verses is the reference to the word Lord, the word Kyrios. Now this word has two different ways it's often used in the Bible. Sometimes it's used in a very common way. The word, because of the context, refers to the teacher, the master. We also know that the word Lord or Kyrios also has a special meaning. And this is that meaning where Jesus is indeed God. Now, many believe in this story this morning, the word is being used more in the common sense. In other words, go find the donkey. If anyone questions you, say the master needs it or the teacher needs it. But we know the true identity of Jesus. Again, that's one of our themes we've been looking at from our study in Philippians chapter 2. We saw in the opening verses of this passage that Jesus was equal with the Father. He was equal with the Father. And we've already looked at those verses. After Easter, we'll be coming back to look at verses 9 to 11. And one of the things we'll see there is, again, a reference to Jesus as Lord. A name was given to Jesus, a name that is above every name. And that name was Lord. Jesus was Lord. He was equal with the Father. He was God himself. That was his true identity. Jesus is Lord. He is the teacher, the master, but he is God himself. Verse 4. They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. Again, this points to the prearranged nature of the story. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Now this spreading out of garments and spreading out of cloaks signified the arrival of a new king. There's an interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 9, where a new king was being recognized. God had called Jehu to be the new king over the people of Israel. Listen to this passage. It's 2 Kings chapter 9, beginning in verse 12. "Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel." Then they hurried, and each man took his garment and placed it under him on the bare steps. They blew the trumpet, saying, "Jehu is king." to this act of laying out the garments, laying out the cloaks, was used in the story as a sign of recognition. A new king has been anointed. A new king has arrived. Let's lay out our garments in recognition of that. Jesus is arriving, anointed by God, just as Jew had been, anointed by God. The people of Jerusalem are recognizing Jesus as God. The palm branches also symbolize joy and salvation. In fact, many of the Jewish feasts were often accompanied with these palm branches. They were associated with so many, especially this feast of Passover. The palm branches, joy and salvation. It's interesting, in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, there's another use of the same palm branches to express the joy for Jesus as the Lamb of God. Let me read Revelation 9 for you. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and here it is, and palm branches were in their hands, and they were crying out in a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits upon the throne, to the Lamb. In fact, there's so many parallels to this triumphal entry that we're looking at this morning. It almost seems like this triumphal entry is a foreshadowing of what will take place in the future, where all the multitudes are waving palm branches and shouting, again, Revelation, salvation to our God who sits on the throne. At this point, Jesus is sitting upon a donkey, but he is salvation come to the people. Going on, verse 9, those, I'm reading again from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 9, those who went ahead and those who were following shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. What does Hosanna mean? It means save. Please save. Salvation comes from our God. Jesus was this coming Davidic Messiah. Just like in the Revelation, they were singing salvation to the Lamb of God. Here, they're singing Hosanna, save us, to David, or to Jesus as the Davidic Messiah. This idea was a significant part of a section from the book of Psalms called the Hallel. The word Hallel comes from the Hebrew word for praise. Portions of this Hallel were sung at all of the Jewish feasts, most notably the feast of Passover, the season in which the triumphal entry was ushering in. In fact, we know that when Jesus sat down with his disciples at the Passover meal, the Last Supper, they read from portions of the Hallel. That was part of the celebration. The Hallel included a prayer of blessing for the coming Messianic kingdom. Listen to just two verses from the Hallel. I'm reading from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. O Lord, save us. O God, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus was the promised Davidic Messiah who was bringing salvation to Jerusalem. One final verse from our reading this morning, Mark chapter 11, verse 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything That little phrase, he looked around and everything was unique to Mark's gospel. Again, we want to make this contrast between work or pleasure, pilgrimage or mission. He was looking around, not as a pilgrim. See, when pilgrims came to Jerusalem and they looked around, they oohed and they awed at the grandeur of the city. They soaked in the smells and the sights and the sounds of the city. They were excited. Those thousands upon thousands who were going there to have an experience of the city, to look around at the grand sights and smells of the city. Jesus was there not for that purpose. He looked around at everything. He had a bigger perspective. He was actually thinking about his work. And he had come into the temple thinking about his work. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 speaks of the work of the Lord coming into his temple. Let me read that passage to you. See, I will send you my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Jesus looks around at the temple, and he looks around with a particular perspective. He looks around in light of the sacrifice of atonement. Jesus realized that he was the Passover lamb that year. He was the sacrifice of atonement. He also looks around with this perspective of his work was fulfilling all that the temple represented. While others admired the big structure, he was looking at its purpose and realizing he had come to fulfill that purpose. In fact, later on this very week, this Passion Week, there's an interesting conversation between Jesus and his disciples in which he predicts the destruction of that temple. Let me read Matthew 24. This is the conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. It says, beginning in verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its building. They were pilgrims. The disciples were there as pilgrims. They were there and they were admiring the buildings. They were admiring the activities. They were excited about the purposes and the needs of coming to the temple and the grandeur of that temple. But listen to what Jesus says in verse 2. He says, do you see all these things? All these things. I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. The building will be gone. It will be destroyed. Jesus could have also said to his disciples, and the sacrifices you see taking place today, they will be abolished. They'll be no longer needed. In fact, this temple is a grand temple, and there's a need for this temple right now, but the need for this temple will be done, be gone. Jesus had a different perspective than the disciples had. The disciples were looking at Jerusalem, looking at the temple from the perspective or from the eyes of a pilgrim, people who were there for pleasure. Jesus had a different perspective. He was looking at all these things, Jerusalem, the temple, with the eyes of the Lamb of God who had come to be the sacrifice and to bring an end to the need for this structure because he himself was the temple. The triumphal entry, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. It meant so much. Let's continue our time of worship. Mike is going to come back, and we're going to enjoy Nothing But the Blood, hymn number 135.